Welcome to episode 15 of Call to Auction. This is Euripides, Wild.com's Gold Cap, OutDPS, and Hunting Party Podcast.
And hey, it's Marco, making your lives less boring. Prop Warrior Gladiator, Gold Blogger at JustMyDuCopper.org, and also, obviously, Podcaster at Casticlism and Call to Auction.
And Big Jim, Prop Warrior Tank, former Endgame Rating Guild Officer, and blogger over at Phase3Profit.net, Phase3, then Profit.net.
Remember, guys, email us at calltoauction@gmail.com. That's calltoauction@gmail.com with your tips or questions. Will you answer the call?
And feel free to look us up on iTunes and leave us a review. That's just search for Call to Auctions, and there's a little section where you can put your comments in. So our breaking news today... Our breaking news today is that Mike Schramm is here. We actually have a guest on Call to Auction.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks. I'm sorry I broke that news. I knocked into it over there and it fell right on the ground.
I'll say it anyways. You're a blogger, podcaster from Tippawa, a former WoW.com editor, internet star extraordinaire, Mike Schramm. So that's what somebody wrote for you. I'm just reading it now.
Thank
for
you.
The first time.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So what
it's
is
all correct.
What does Tippawa stand for again?
Tippawa is the incredible podcast of amazing awesomeness.
That's I read that the first time and I thought, you know, that's just the best name ever.
Yeah, I mean, Terpster obviously. And I, we used to do obviously the WoW Insider Show back when it was, well, I think it's still called the WoW Insider Show, but we used to do the WoW Insider Show, and then when we left the site, obviously we didn't do the WoW Insider Show anymore, but everybody kept telling us, they were like, we want a podcast from you guys, and we wanted to do a podcast together. And so when we came up with the name, we decided to go a little bit humble on the name. We decided to go a little low-key. So that
humble, easy to remember, subtle, right. Like it. Nothing too long.
Yeah. No, nothing too big. So that way, when people actually tuned into the podcast, they would be surprised by how actually... how amazing it actually was. So, but we decided to go low on the name. So the incredible podcast, amazing awesomeness. That's what we considered low, and the podcast stands up for itself. So
I think it's one of those classic situations of under promise, over deliver. And I gotta say, you guys are you're pulling it off.
Thank you, thank you.
So yeah, and you know it's funny. I don't know if you've had a chance to run into this guy before, but I do a Hunter podcast with Frostheim. And he's taken to starting to read out the names of the people that are in the live channel on our show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I remember you used to do that. It was
I'm glad you told me about that because I needed to get in touch with my lawyer.
Well, luckily, Frostheim doesn't listen to this show.
We want to try and do that?
Oh.
We've got Big Jim.
We're live? Not live, Marco. Are we?
No, we're not live.
No, it's not live.
That's a joke.
I gotcha. I'm there. All right. Yeah, and then I also blog for joystick.com now, and then the unofficial Apple web blog as well.
Oh, so we are. Oh, that's right. You are with Joystick.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine you're not writing about WoW over there.
Yeah, when it comes up. I mean, when it's not specifically me. It's quite a few, you know, whoever jumps in. But there's times when there's WoW news or MMO news and the other guys on the team aren't quite as versed in the community and that type of stuff as I am. And I kind of
they got to defer to the expert in that situation.
Yeah, not always. I mean, sometimes I'm not around and there's WoW news that needs to go out and it goes out. It's not like it has to be me. But yeah, a lot of times when there's stuff that comes up and they're like, what is this thing about expansion? Or what is this? They don't quite understand exactly how they're like, what is it? A new instance? What does that mean? I have to sit there and explain to the other joystick guys exactly how the game works and why everyone's so excited. But
a quick question about that.
Sure.
You know, because this is your day job now is writing for a broader audience about, you know, software, unofficial Apple web blog, all that. How often does WoW come up? Is it all, you know, infrequently, almost never? Because I consider it to be like the preeminent game on the Apple platform until, you know, Diablo 3 or something comes out. But,
You
know, is it a thing that jumps out or is it just, you know, once a month you might really, you know, talk about a statement from Blizzard, et cetera?
Yeah. On the unofficial Apple weblog, it comes up usually only when I the only time I've actually talked about Blizzard lately is when they update the iPhone app, like when the Mobile Armory first decided to come out. Then I post about it on the Unofficial Apple web blog. And then also, Blizzard is kind of a great example of a company that is diehard Mac, like you said. Like all their games, and StarCraft 2 as well, you know, all their games are Mac from the beginning. They're on the same disc. So whenever you talk about like Mac gaming, they're a good example. The other thing is that I think they more than almost any other gaming company can do a ton of stuff with the iPhone that they haven't done yet. They have a lot of potential, but they haven't actually done it. And the Mobile Armory seems like it's poking in that direction. And the mobile authenticator, I mean, it seems like they have a lot of interest in the iPhone and the way that it works, but they haven't done too much with it. And people have even talked about like the Murloc game from the BlizzCon tickets, like take that, turn it into an iPhone app. They make a ton of money on it. So I think they have a lot of potential. What's that?
Yes. It was a pop.
Right.
So, Mike, we're going to be nice to you today. We're not going to do what you did to me where you asked me to randomly...
Did you start talking?
Randomly tell you the prices of items.
Serenite Ore on Scenarios. Go.
All right. When you were on Tipoa and we talked about that, I said I don't want to call you out. I gave you the option to not do it, and you went for it. So I'm not taking any...
I don't want to call you out, but, you know, I'm going to call you out.
I'm not taking any blame for that. I said it was okay if you didn't want to do it. But you did it great anyway. You rocked it anyway, because exactly the prices that you threw out, just randomly, we had people look up on the servers those exact prices, and that was them. So you did great.
That's all right. There was a lot of gold bribing those guys, but
yeah, paying all the people in the chat channel. Yeah.
No, I'm just
so you're not going to call me out, is what you're promising.
No, I'm not going to call you out. I had a lot of. If I think of something, I'm gonna do that.
All right, go for it.
No, that was a lot of fun.
We got questions. We got questions. We can ask them right now. We got intro questions.
Go for it.
Shoot.
How long you been playing WoW, Mike Tramp?
I started playing about, the game came out, I believe, in somewhere around October, November. I don't know the exact date, but I don't know the exact year offhand. But the game came out around October, November, and then the next year, May 6th is my birthday, and I bought the game on my birthday as a birthday present to myself. So it's whatever the year the game launched, the next year in May is when I actually started playing it. Before that, I played Dark Age of Camelot, and I really enjoyed that game, and I've talked about that a few times, but I've been playing since then, and I haven't given up my account since then at all. I've been paying all the way through.
Holy Jeebus, you're still in DAOC?
No, for World of Warcraft. Dark Age of Camelot, I left a month before I started playing World of Warcraft. I was like, I'm done with this, because Dark Age of Camelot was a good game. But then WoW was coming out, and I was like, wait, this is an MMO, and they did it right. So I jumped into World of Warcraft as much as I could. So that's how I started playing World of Warcraft.
Okay, question number two. How much do you play now, you know, specifically since you stopped being a part of WoW.com?
I left WoW.com in January. I would say at this point, just because things are slow. Now, as I say that, I realize that I've got to get back in to do the Nomragon stuff. I haven't done the Nomragon quests yet, but probably once every 2 weeks or so, I log in and play for an evening, run a couple dungeons, play some dailies, get some gold. I've been supposedly my goal is to be working on the hog for my paladin, but I'm not keeping up very closely on it. I'm just kind of logging in, mostly to make sure that it's worth the money that I'm paying every month. So trying to get my $15 enjoyment out of it in a couple of nights a month. So that's about as frequently as I'm playing right now.
Well, speaking all it takes is 2 hours of play? And it's about the same as paying to watch for a movie or something. Yeah.
It's like going to see a movie. But no, I mean, I get probably 3-4 nights a month out of it, which is good enough. I mean, when Cataclysm comes out, I'll be playing that daily. That'll be my game that I'm centered on. But right now, just because it's downtime, it's just basically to try to get the cost back of what I've paid for it. So,
sure. Now, you mentioned saving up for a hog. Are you an active? Are you the kind of person that every time you get money, you spend it?
I'm trying. I have a good question for you guys, actually. Now, when Marco was on Tipwa, he gave great tips like buying Serenite ore and doing all that stuff. And yeah, I'm sure you guys have gone over this, and all your listeners probably know all the great tips already, but he gave some good tips. And just a little while ago, I jumped into the game and I was like, all right, this is it. I want to get the hog. The other thing I want is the big mammoth mount, the 20,000 mammoth mount. So I was like, I'm going to
do
this.
You can only ride one of them, you know.
Well, I'm going to get
to you can't ride them both. I mean, you can go back and forth, but only one at a time.
There's a little macro that you can create for calling a random mount. I strongly recommend it.
Well, I was going to say, you sound very bitter. Do you want to ride them both, like a mammoth on a hog?
One on leg on the other? Oh, that would be wicked. I had not thought of that, but I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So I wanted to get this gold up, and Marco had given those tips. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. So I got the very latest version of Auctioneer. I updated it and everything. I went into the game. I went ahead and scanned. I did a full scan. And I was like, all right, I'm going to follow these directions. And what I did was I did the thing where you – there's a couple of different tips that I read. Or I poked around and read some tips. And I did the thing where you go in and you do a scan of low prices. And it checks the low prices and finds items that you can buy low. And then you can sell for higher just because –
Why do people already always do that first?
Someone listed them as low because that seemed like the easiest thing. So I did that.
It's and it found
quite a few items. And I looked to see how much I was actually making, and I think I was making like 20 silver an item for like 20 items. And I was like, wait, I have to relist all these things? Like that's what, 3, 4, 5 gold for going through these things and doing all that? So then I was like, this must not be the right thing to do. I'm going to buy a bunch of serenite ore, and I'm going to turn it into bars, and that way I'll make my money there. And I bought like 5, 6 stacks of ore, and I turned it all into bars, and I sold it all back. And by the end of the thing, my profit again was like 5 gold or 10 gold, maybe.
Oh no!
I was like, dude, I can go quest and make more money than this. What is this? Like, I assume you guys just do hundreds and hundreds of auctions and do that. But what was I doing wrong there? What happened?
Well, the first thing is the scan. The first time you do the scan, it only knows the prices of that moment. Yeah,
doesn't see that.
So
all right.
You almost got to do the scans twice daily, especially at first, and then you'll have at least accurate data after like a week.
So the conventional wisdom with auction.
Marco, you sound so distraught.
I know Marco is just like crying into his beer
right
now.
What a moron.
No, I feel bad for you because I feel like you spent a lot of time.
No, it wasn't a lot of time. No, you didn't give bad tips. It was me just being like not understanding. I mean, I told you this stuff. This is what we talked about on the podcast where I read these great tips from you guys, and then I went and go checked, and I was like, wait, this doesn't make sense.
Well, you can see being an idiot. You can set your profit range to a higher value. Like you can set it to like 5 gold.
Yeah.
And go for bigger ticket items or a wider spread between the price and what you're going to sell for.
Yeah,
honestly, that's a really risky and technical way to make money.
Yeah, I did do that because I was like, man, I want to make a ton of money. And what happened was it came up with like 5 or 6 items, but they were all items that someone was playing with. Like they listed something that extremely expensive to bring the average up. So it was all very messy. I didn't want
to
get into it.
Yeah, you're vulnerable to that, especially when you don't have a lot of data behind you. But the price, even the historical price, isn't always that important either. It's balance of supply and demand that's going to determine price. And if you want to make your hog out of professions instead of doing dailies, or out of the auction house instead of doing dailies, you need to have a profession. Doesn't matter what that profession is, but you need to have ideally a crafting profession or mining.
All right. Well, my paladin has mining and smelting. So, mining and engineering, which I think is a respectable profession.
Right.
I can do
there you go. Like engineering's a perfect example. We actually had a show about this where Marco, I had stated for the longest time that engineering was just a toy. It wasn't any good for making money. Marco proved me wrong. There's a couple of cool things you can do. Obviously, selling ammo. The other thing you can do with engineering is making those pets. There's a lot of hard-to-find recipes for pets that you can make with engineering, and they sell for pretty good. The ones out of Nomergen, for example, typically sell for a couple hundred gold each.
All right. Well, let's go simple first. The first thing you're saying is I need to scan more than once.
Well, I actually disagree with that. I know Marco's a big fan of the scanning, and he's a big fan of the...
I disagree with you, Euripides.
All right. One at a time.
Yeah, calm down, guys. One at a time.
Who's this
call to auction, not call to action. Go ahead.
Well, my position is that the pricing of the market right now is more important than what it was last week. And if you can buy something now, smelt it or whatever, and then put it on the auction house for more money, that's all that matters.
Oh, stop it. You know that's not right at all.
That's one point.
That's wrong. You're wrong. Especially for somebody in Mike's position who does not have any sort of context for the value in his market. he needs to have a few days, ideally a week, ideally scanning twice a day over the course of 7 days, so that he can develop some sort of consistency for the value of things over a set period of time.
No, but if you're like, already, you can just get that off of the mobile armory or off of.
Because this is the guy we're talking to, because Mike is going to go look at the mobile armory and look at the web-based tools that he has. No, he's talking about just getting started in the auction house.
You're protecting me with paint praise there. You're like, look, Mike's an idiot. He's not going to go and look for stuff.
I'm trying to be – yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand if there is an item that is low compared to the auction house currently, that it doesn't matter what it was 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter what it was a week ago. I agree. I understand what you're saying. But I think that is the next thing I will do, which is try scanning for a week and seeing where the prices are at then and seeing if I can get better hold. Because that's what happened is I did a scan and then it was like, look, here's these three items you can resell. And I was like, that doesn't look like I can resell those. Nobody would want to buy those for that price. So
no, that's going to be something like a list of Burning Crusade Epics. You're going to get a list of like, oh, this will sell great. And you're like, this is not right.
Now, here's the other thing, though, is remember, information is only valuable if you do something with it. So if you do this, let's say you scan for a week, scan for 2 weeks, whatever you think you need to do, maybe your information will be better. But unless you're actually using that information to strategically position yourself better, you're not really – like unless you're buying cheaper because of this information or selling for more.
Yeah. Well, I would. I mean, I assume after a scan it would look better. At least I would have some idea when I looked at the data, you know, what
it
would
– You know how not to get fleeced. That's the goal. You want to make sure you're not paying 20 gold for a stack of Serenite.
Well, let's think about the purpose of this, okay? The whole idea is to get the average market value of an item. So scans are great, but what I want you to do, I'm going to give you a challenge, okay? it's a two-week-long challenge. It requires literally 5 minutes a day. I want you to look at the price of Abyss Crystals on your server, maybe the same time every day, whatever you want to do. Check what their price is and write it down. I mean – when you run a scan, that's what auctioneers do.
It's just writing it down for you, right?
Right. What I want you to do is make a little spreadsheet and catalog the price every day. And what Euripides was saying is right. It doesn't matter what the price was last week. It matters what it is now. More importantly, it matters what it's going to be. So look at what happens over a week to Abyss Crystals and look at how the price changes and fluctuates. It will show a sort of a pattern, you know, between the weekends and Tuesdays and stuff. So see it yourself, and then when you understand it, then when you get a scan back from auctioneer and you see, oh, here's Abyss Crystals for 30% value, I know I can buy them today and sell them 2 days from now. You know, you need that background information of how markets work in WoW before you can really use it.
Mike, what server and faction are you on? I'm just going to see if you're on the Undermine Journal.
Right now, the character that I'm trying to get this hog is on the Alliance Cenarius.
Cenarius?
C-E-N? Yeah.
I have Cenarian Circle, but that's it.
Cenarius. That's a server.
No, no,
it's not there?
Mike's making up his own server.
I just play
No, it's not that. It's the Undermine Journal doesn't have all the servers yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So,
all right. Well, Marco, I'm down. I'll take that challenge. I don't know if I'll actually complete it, but I'll do my best. I will try to track and we'll see where I'm at. Let me just say this too. Don't take my failures as any judgment of your guys' skill at teaching people how to make gold in the game. All right.
And I think to get back to your original point of, you know, I bought Serenite, or I turned it into bars, what happened that I didn't make a killing? The broader lesson is that there's a number of things that you can do with any particular commodity, you know, with professions that will increase your income multiplier. So, like, you made some money, a very little amount of money, by turning Serenite ore into bars, but you could have made more money by doing something else with them.
Yeah, and if I'd bought more than six stacks, I would have, you know, made more. And if you go to, you know, a scale, you can make quite a bit of money, I'm sure. But
yeah, but scaling's boring. Sitting
there, all right, that is a boring way to do it. You're right. It's much more fun to hunt for bargains and do things like that. And
okay,
I'll give my shot. Titan Steel, you know.
All right, Titan Steel.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
All right, I can do that. All right.
Last question. How much gold do you have right now, Mike?
Yeah, I just saw this question in the notes. I'm scared to answer it. And I don't know 100% for sure because I don't have my shaman on the number that I just checked. I just checked it before the show because I saw it in the notes. But I think I am going to go with a total around 4,800 gold.
That's a respectable amount of gold.
That's across characters. Across
nothing characters. To. Oh wait, across servers or across characters?
Across characters and servers. Yeah.
What? He means in one location.
That silence is Jim's telling. Like silence. Yeah, right? Oh,
well, you've come to the right place.
I mean, I've gotten, well, yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not my main, now you guys really make me feel defensive.
You know
I've
what?
Got gold.
Know.
I've got flying on multiple servers. I've bought.
And that's, remember when I asked you?
It's all good.
I asked you if you're the type of guy that spends the money as soon as you get it. I'm like that. I don't have anywhere near as much money as Marco because I keep on spending it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I usually buy stuff when I need it. Like if there's flying available or if there's an epic that I can just pick up, then I usually just go ahead and do it. Or if there's something cool that I can make, I usually just go ahead and do it. What, you know, there's no reason to save up.
A friend wants money. You know, if a friend's like, oh, I want to get engineering. I'm like, haha, idiot. Here you go. Here's 5,000 gold.
My level 5 friend in Stormwind really asked me for money. I might as well give him some, right? No?
It's like that Nigerian guy who keeps asking me for the money. I mean, he's going to send me money when he gets it.
Right, yeah. Of course.
Apparently, he's this descendant of some king. I just keep sending him money, but I'm going to get it back. It's all good.
He's a king. He'll pay you back.
Right. See? Yeah, there we go. It's the same idea.
You know what? You know what you need? You've only got 2 professions on that server. You don't have a lot of options. I think you should use the most underrated profession. It's not even a profession. Vendor pets, vendor items, buying them up and selling them, like Stormspire, Dalaran, each of the major cities. You know, there's a lot of goods you can buy that people are more than willing to pay 2-3 times the price for. And that'd be a good way to make some money without having to worry about really fiddling with the auction house.
I mean, I've got leatherworking and skinning. I'm my hunter right now. And I was thinking about taking the hunter over to Jewelcraft. And so that's a possibility too. But don't worry too much about it. I think it'll be fine. Don't take my failures, of which there are many, as a reflection of your skill at teaching people to do this stuff. So,
no, we think you're in a good position. That's why you're
thanks.
Here.
Thanks.
Really.
Thanks.
It's good. I mean, as much as that silence was telling, at the same time, you got 4 max professions on the server. You know,
flying.
You got what you need. We'll figure it out.
That's what most people need their gold for. Most people don't collect gold just for the sake of collecting gold. They collect gold so they can get some sort of actual advantage. Sort of, you know, I started collecting gold because I wanted to be able to buy BOEs.
Cool.
Speaking of flying.
Yeah. Blizzard released news this week that the flying in the old world is not going to be free. So they're calling it old weather flying. it's going to be 250 gold, and it'll come in the form of a Flight Master's license. And this will allow you to fly around in Kalimdor in the Eastern Kingdoms, including the new level, the 80 to 85 zones, and it's trainable at level 60. And we got this from the WoW.com article on the same subject.
Yeah, it's not exciting, but that's the second half of our news.
Another 250 gold, is there any reason for them to do that?
Yeah, that's a small gold sink. It's not about... It's actually a really effective gold sink because it's not about bankrupting any one character, making it so that not every character, you have to choose which of your characters you're going to give it to. It's about making it so that the total amount in the economy is just a little bit less than it was before the expansion, because that's what the function of gold sinks are. I mean, Epic Flying is a gold sink. The one that caught, you know, 5,000 gold at level 70 back when 5,000 gold was a lot more than it is now. You know, that was something that people had to work for months in order to get, and they would do it. But they would it would be a real pain in the butt. And I think they don't want people to focus so much on the grind for this time, but they still want to have a bit of a gold sink.
You know, I think that's a really good, I think that within this flying, the example of flying in WoW, there's a good example of how WoW has changed from being much more hardcore, maybe in vanilla and TBC, to being much more casual, you know, whatever you want to say about those terms, in Lich King and the upcoming expansion, because 250 gold is nothing, but also the flying is not as big a deal because back in the day in TBC, flying mounts, I think people forget this now, flying mounts were only 60% of the, you know, the epic 100% ground mounts, and they've been up since then. So to go from 60% to 280 was like colossal, and it cost you 5,000 gold, so it was this huge deal. Whereas now you're like, okay, I can fly, and it's only going to cost me $250.
Yeah. I remember though, I spent a lot of time trying to get my Epic Flyer when I hit 70.
It's still going to cost $5K. You just get the ability to. I get what you're saying though. They're adding an expansion, and they're adding a very small fee compared to the last expansion.
Although
I'm just surprised.
I'm planning on paying for the 3-10%.
Oh yeah. Who wouldn't?
When you guys can walk around with the gold that you have. But no, I think I just wonder why they even bother putting it in. Like, do a quest. Why even bother with the 250 gold? Like, why not just run a quest and make it, you know, you say it's a gold sink, but can't they just up the repair cost for a certain, you know?
But don't you think it adds value? I mean, like, don't you think if you were to just have it, it would be like, yeah, I've just got it. But because you had to go out and get 250 gold, which for most players, many players, is a lot. That 250 gold symbolizes quests. Something.
Yeah. It's 10 quests right now, but in Cataclysm, I'm thinking it'll be closer to 4 or 5 quests.
There's going to be massive inflation in this game. And like the point you made earlier.
The value. No, just hold on for a sec. Because don't you think that assigning a gold value to it gives it value, a sort of metaphysical value that might not otherwise be there if it was free?
Well, I think make it a quest. Make it you know, you have to go through this storyline quest, and it doesn't need to be a long storyline, but four quests.
That's an excellent response, actually. That's very reasonable.
That's what I would say. Instead of putting a gold charge on it, and maybe the only reason they're doing that is because of cold weather flying, they just sort of set that precedent. Now they have to do this. But, you know, I don't understand. 250 gold seems like so low that you might as well put some story into it and just turn it into a quest instead of, you know, it's not even a bar. It's like a bar to step over. It's like, what's the point of putting the bar there in the first place? So
The point of putting it there is to, one, make you feel good, but two is it's catering to, you say casual, what they really mean is just average players. You know, the game has forever been either for the best players or the worst players, and the people in the middle really, you know, the guys who only play once every 2 weeks but are still good players, they really don't have anything for them. You know, the content in the game, all the bosses are binary. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of interesting ways to solve that problem with Blizzard. They might make multiple skill levels for bosses, difficulty levels. You know, they're going to add things like this really simple 250 gold. I mean, it's nothing, but it's made for people like you who are on once every 2 weeks or playing casually. Well,
in Cataclysm, you're going to be playing every day. Out there.
Yeah, in Cataclysm, I'm going day. I'm going back to hardcore to finish up the expansion. I'm going to 85 fast, so. But no.
Call to Auction 15, in which we kick Mike Schramm and the Rocks.
Careful who you call casual there, but no.
And I would just like to jump in. I don't mean casual as like a derogatory thing, and as it has been used very often in the past. I think it's accurate. I think, you know, people who play a few hours a week, those are casual players, and that's good. Yeah.
But I think, you know, thinking of the way that people play right now versus the way that they play right after Cataclysm comes out, it's going to be night and day. I mean, I really think that from everything I've seen about Cataclysm, it's going to go back to, you're going to have people like Penny Arcade posting about it. It'll be just like when StarCraft 2 came out, which is where everyone's tweeting about it, everyone's talking about it. It'll be the focus of gamers again. I think it'd be a big deal. And I think a lot of the people who are playing once every 2 weeks right now will be like, oh, well, instead of playing Halo Reach or instead of playing Red Dead Redemption, I'm going to go play Cataclysm. So.
Or Civ Rev, which, by the way, Mike, screw you for getting me hooked on that game.
On the iPhone?
Yes, so on the iPhone. Good. It's free. It's so good.
Not free anymore. It was free for a little while.
It was free when you talked about it, but I digress.
It's amazing. Well, amazing. I've been playing.
Talking about Cataclysm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry.
Talking about Cataclysm, let's go over my... Now, I made this a month ago, so be gentle. But go over my stockpile for Cataclysm.
You almost built a little bit of excitement there. You were like, yeah, let's go over my... And then you cut it off at the knees completely.
Well, there's been changes. We'll get into some of the stuff. There's been a lot of changes to the game.
All right, so let's start by just prefacing this with what this list is. This list is stuff that if you get it now, in theory, after Cataclysm, it'll be valuable still. Potentially more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
potentially much more valuable than most of the things you could buy right now.
Yeah, and to clarify, there's going to be a much longer list of stuff that if you purchase it now in hopes that it'll go up in Cataclysm, you're just going to be rudely awakened when you realize that it's just not at all the case.
Yes.
Yeah, so I tried to be safe with some of these. I tried to pick items that are medium risk but high reward, thus making them my top 10 items.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and start with the top of your list here. Marco.
Okay, I'll go first. I was trying to think of certain professions for most of these lists. What are they going to need when they're initially leveling? You know, people are going to use the current world mats to power level and to level their characters up when they're trying to go from 450 to 525 or whatever the skill up's going to be for max level. And your first 20 or 30 points are going to be the mats that you have now. So I was looking at engineering, and they make a lot of stuff with crystallized water and earth. And I thought that might be something to stockpile very cheap right now. I mean, you can get these for less than 50 silver a piece. I guarantee you they're going to be the same price as the current BC mats are for power leveling. Just, I mean, they're each a gold a piece for their crystallized or the moat version. You're basically doubling your money, hopefully. With inflation, you might be close to tripling it. So that's my initial item that I think you should stockpile.
I have something else to add. I think this is very sensible, and I think also this is something that will come in stacks. This is very easy to stack, and so it's minimal risk right now because they're relatively low value, and you can put 20 or 40 of them, you know, one, two, three, whatever, 10 stacks into your bank and not have it take up as much space as you might if you were doing something that was a one item per slot
item. Yeah, I mean, you know, a single stack is 200 items. It's a great point.
Well, yeah.
I think back to BC, their equivalent from BC right now are fairly valuable. Like, I was trying to buy Primal Air the other day, and that was kind of expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're exceptionally valuable right now, especially if you want to do something like turn the primals into primal. What's it called, Marco? Mites. Is mites the valuable one or nethers?
Uh huh. It's probably mites.
Okay. Yeah. So there's going to be a corollary, I would imagine, just projecting forward for Lich King to Cataclysm. So water and earth, they're cheap now. I mean, I have an engineer. I'm hoping I have a blacksmith. They're the kind of things that only do seem to gain and that are easy to accumulate now.
Yep. Although for a while in Cataclysm, I have a sneaking suspicion that it'll take a while for the demand to outpace the supply because the demand is constant, but it's low grade. So it's going to be like 5 or 6 months after Cataclysm launches, these things will start getting harder and harder to find.
Yeah. So, I mean, speculation, the idea is that you're hoping to make some money in the future, and you better have a lot of gold if you're going to do this kind of thing.
And bags,
you know. Although water and earth are so cheap now.
Yeah, mostly bag space. Next item on the list is Borean leather. I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with this, but that's just because I like disagree. My only reason is Borean leather. I don't know. I've always felt that in Wrath, it's been so easy to farm. And there'll be so many people passing through level 70 to 80 in Wrath of the Lich King that will have skinning that I suspect the only demand for this is going to be people leveling leatherworking. And the ratio of leather workers to skinners, assuming that remains about the same, I don't think that this is due for a big price increase myself.
Now, I want you to think real quick if there's any reason I would do this for cross-faction trading. That's actually why
I can answer that. Yes, there's a reason.
Is it specifically for Borean leather?
Yes.
Maybe it's just because I don't play Horde. No, I can't think of any reason. Is it harder to get on the Horde side?
Oh, no, it's not for that reason. Because I play Horde.
Well, Big Jim can probably tell you.
Hey, Mike, can you tell us?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither do I at this point.
Yeah, what, Marco, what the crap are you talking about?
Worgens get a skinning bonus. They get their claws, they can skin. Most likely quite a bit of Worgen are going to be skinners. I bet you leather across the board is going to be cheaper on Alliance side. So,
but that's a supply push. That's not a demand increase. That's a supply push.
Yeah, so. I'm assuming these items will go up naturally with inflation and also because people just won't be... You'll be getting scraps when you level through Wrath of Lich King content, so you won't get much leather anyway. You know, it's not like it is now, where if you level with a skinner to 80, you're getting tons of leather. So I'm assuming demand goes down, supply goes down, it meets some new level. I mean, these are all guesses. You know, I'm not going to defend these 100% because you are absolutely right to assume that this could not work. You know, it's possible.
I just like challenging you on your assumptions. But anyways, I'll let this one slide because it's no worse than half the crap I've got in my bank. Trust me.
I will say that that's insightful. At least you're thinking, and it shows that there's something happening there. I don't know that it's going to really affect the price that much that Worgen can all skin. But you're right. I think you're exactly right that a lot of Worgen coming up will be like, which profession should I choose? Oh, I get a bonus. I'll go skin.
Well, there wool cloth. Go ahead, sorry. Wool cloth is so much more prevalent on the Alliance side, even with the looking for dungeon tool, because of stockades. You know, and it's just more supply of the item, so it's super cheap on Alliance side. I'm thinking maybe the Borean leather isn't worth stockpiling now, but it's worth to look into later in the expansion to flip. So.
He's Marco. Go ahead.
That's true. You know, in defense also, I think that there's a logical step from being, hey, I'm going to roll Worgen because they're awesome, you know, and the new race in Cataclysm. Ergo, I'm going to roll a Skinner. And the next step in that chain of logic is I'm going to roll. My other profession will be a leather worker, which would have a demand effect. That's possible, although I don't know if I'd stake my fortune on it. But in the interest of moving along, let's go to item number 8. Enchanting scrolls for BOA gear. Which scrolls? I want to know, Marco. What do you think? What items?
Crusader, spell power, health, mana to chest, fiery. Those are the major ones. Speed to boots, that kind of stuff. All leveling things.
Yeah, leveling.
So I think at leveling, I think this is great, except for the only thing I would say, and this is, I'm sure everybody is going to agree with me, it depends upon what we hear between now and the release, which is a stupid thing to say, but like we don't have any idea what enchanting is going to do. We don't really have any specifics. So there's a big caveat here with it depends upon what future information we get.
Yeah, and also people have them already.
But you're talking about gear. You're talking about gear that gets replaced that people want to re-enchant, right?
No. I don't mean that at all. Actually, I mean we don't know how enchanting is going to be come Cataclysm. Enchanting, it might be exceptionally simple to go from 1 to 300, and so you know, or a Crusader might get nerfed to the point that it's not desirable. We just don't know. So it's difficult to project. So you're going to have to be flexible about this.
I think it's going to be fine. I think saving these scrolls is a great idea.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that come back to the game in Cataclysm aren't going to be up on exactly whether Crusader has been nerfed.
Freaking $64,000 answer. That's true. I think people who don't have information will always make you money.
But no, I think they're going to be like, oh crap, I just got this new chest. I got to put it back on. They're not going to like do the research because they're just leveling it up. It's just a piece of leveling gear. They're just going to be like, oh, I just got to throw a thing on. Let me go buy a Crusader scroll and I get it on there. So I think that,
Time out. I'm talking about buying on equip or buying on account items. Stuff you put on your leveling alts.
Enchants for them. But you're still talking about 1 to 60, what's now vanilla enchants.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. The idea that's is different. You sell them in the first week to all the people making a new character that instantly want enchants on their BOA gear. Right. I'm thinking.
All right. Yeah, no, exactly. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say, I suppose Jim's point is true in the sense that Blizzard could come through and just make it so that BOA stuff can't be enchanted. You know, they could do all kinds of things, but until they actually give some sort of indication that some sort of change is coming, like, for example, glyphs, they've kind of told us that the glyph market is not going to be at all the same in Cataclysm. It doesn't make sense to stockpile glyphs. Until they actually make that change, it's probably not worth worrying about what they could do, because typically, they leave well enough alone unless they have a good reason not to.
Yeah,
there will be new BOA pieces too at 85 that are going to work on your level 1 supposedly. So people will want a whole new list of enchants for their gear, even though they may already have BOAs now. You know, they could level their character to 85 and say, okay, now I want to do a Worgen. Oh, crap, I'm going to use my new 85 BOA gear, so I need a new Crusader. So, I mean, that's you want to look down the road here and not just dump everything the first week and possibly look for a second rush.
Sure. Okay, let's keep moving down the list because they're going to get better as we go on.
Am I supposed to talk about this?
Yeah, that's why your name is next
to it. All right, my name's right next to it. Number 7, you have alchemy leveling kits, and that means packs of everything you need to level alchemy.
We should not have given Mike this one.
Right?
Sorry. Oh, no, actually, he's dead on, and maybe we could have introduced it a little bit better, but we talked about this on another show recently. There's been a couple of different servers where this is cropping up. People advertising in trade, I will give you every single herb that you need in order to level alchemy. Alchemy is a very popular profession. It also happens to be very easy to predict what you're going to need. It's unlike certain other professions. So these kits can often, just for the convenience alone, be sold for a nice premium.
Yeah. So, I mean, there must be guides online that just have a list of supplies that you need then, right? And does it include, not flasks, but the bottles and everything?
So, yes. Yeah, they often do.
Yes.
I've seen ones that don't. Actually, there was a guy on my server that was doing it. I think he was actually started a guild, and he just said, I'll make you the GM of this guild and access to the guild bank. You know, here it is.
Cool. What do those run when they're selling them?
Typically 30% more. The market will support up to 30% more. So if some guy like me, like right now, I wish somebody would do that for tailoring. I just don't have the time of day to go and level up tailoring on one of my characters. If somebody would just, you know, say, here's a guild, I'll make you the GM. The bank is filled with mats, and here are the instructions. I'd be willing to pay 50% more.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure most people would be willing to pay 30% more than the cost of the mats.
Cool.
That's tied to server size, though. I mean, there's a fish in the sea issue with that, which is
You could almost do it on commission too. Like, you could go
be beautiful.
Go on the forums and say, I'm willing to make a kit for somebody who needs to level what, and then just do it.
That's a very good idea.
Well, it is meant for Cataclysm, though. So remember, this is when everyone has a new character.
Right. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, the trick would be to try and stockpile up enough stuff that you could afford to have two or three of these kits. See if you can make a couple of thousands. Normally profession is 2,000. So let's say you're making 500 gold each, optimistically. Maybe 700 gold each. Yeah, I guess if you get a couple of characters.
I've seen these sell for 4 or 5K. I really have.
Yeah, but depends on the mats that go into it. 4 or 5K. I mean, what profit margin is that at?
I don't know. I really don't. I haven't really asked. You know, I sold 5K.
It depends upon how you couch it. Like, if you were just one of us leveling a bank, another alt that you wanted to have, and we're collecting the herbs anyways. You know, 5K means something different than somebody who is otherwise investing to buy the mats entirely off the auction house. It's hard. I don't think we can get a sample size large enough to really know.
That's true.
But there's something worth pointing out. The reason we talk about alchemy leveling kits is because, come on, anybody?
Goblins,
yeah. Right. There's going to be a ton of new goblins, and they're going to have an alchemy bonus. So alchemy, you know, it's not blacksmithing, it's alchemy.
Yep.
And remember how I said you can probably flip skinning mats from one side to the other? You're probably going to be able to flip flasks from one side to the other.
True. Absolutely true.
Yeah, well, especially now when there's a built-in bonus like that. Although you didn't see that much for enchanting mats with the Draenei when they had an enchanting bonus.
That's true.
They had jewel crafting, not enchanting. Who was it that had enchanting? Was it the gnomes?
Blood elves.
What else? What are the gnomes?
Yeah, no, but you're right. I didn't
gnomes
see that
have
much.
Engineering. And by the way, if you want to level an engineer, being a gnome is obscene. They have plus 15. It's exceptionally easy. Until Cataclysm.
Any of these plus anything bonuses make it ridiculous because you can get the points as if you were, let's say you're at 350 and you wanted to go forward. You get the points as if you're doing 350, but you can do things that are 5 levels harder than that.
Yeah, but I mean, like with jewel crafting, Draenei have a plus 5. So if you're at 350, you're cutting gems as if you were 355.
Yeah,
with gnomes and engineering, it's 15. I mean,
I know
it's ridiculously easy. So,
if it's let's say that you're cutting gems as if it's 355, but the gem only turns, let's say at 355 the gem turns gray, but your skill is still only at 350. You're gaining skill points at the level that you are, not at the level that you're acting at.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Ridiculous. And that distance, that greater distance for engineering. I think there are a few others that might have plus 15. I can't remember though. That makes it just that much easier for an otherwise difficult profession.
Moving on to another
profession. Number six. Yeah, go ahead.
Is I wanted to target blacksmithing, and the new item to get is going to be cobalt bars. No one's really going to level using Serenite, and really people are not going to spend a lot of time in Wrath of Lich King content. And that goes for all these items. So they're only going to be in there for two or three levels maybe, and then moving on to harder content. And I don't see them getting past like maybe the third or fourth zone before they leave. And they're not going to get that many bars. Even if they're a miner, as soon as they can, they're going to skip to old world. Well, the new world, the new old world, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to start mining. And they're only going to get so many cobalt bars. Cobalt bars are going to shoot through the roof because of blacksmiths. They all need cobalt bars. Every single item they make is just flat cobalt balls or balls. Hey, bars early on. Hey, we're looking for that explicit tag. No, I would say for blacksmiths, this is the item to get for them.
I actually agree also, with this.
I agree as well. Also, engineers.
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah.
And one of the nice things about this is that since we have another recent expansion, we can actually draw parallels. And this is going to be kind of like the Adamantite market is now. In a different way, obviously. But you know how Adamantite, you can use it to level jewel crafting, you can use it to level blacksmithing. Cobalt, you can use it to level blacksmithing as well as engineering. And you can also use it to turn it in, you can turn it into greens that can be disenchanted, that can be used to level enchanting. I suspect cobalt will be one of those things that's in constant demand as long as people are leveling characters and the people always have alts.
Euripides, I think you're right about the demand, although I don't know if you're right about adamantite is to TBC as cobalt is to Lich King.
But it's not a perfect match. There's going to be
some I think though. That's the kind of thing that we should get some feedback about, because I don't know if that's true or not. So, yeah, that's interesting. That's a very interesting
let's
idea.
Let's wait 6 months, and then we'll compare notes. We'll
see who, yeah. I'm sure Mike, at that point, will have his chopper, and he can, you know, tell us exactly whether or not we were right or wrong.
Yeah, I probably will, if I don't forget about it as soon as the cataclysm comes out.
Word.
My God, Deathwing! Can't think of anything else. Rating. I believe I have item number 5. Lesser cosmic essences. Why lesser?
Because graders really aren't used to level initially. You have to remember, like, you're only going to target the initial levels of Wrath of Lich King content, because then you're going to be moving on to the next green skill up with Cataclysm.
You think that the green skill ups from Cataclysm will happen before you start using graders?
I think so. I looked at it for 5 minutes and calculated that I think you're only going to use lesser cosmic essences. And also... You can sell lessers for more than the cost of the graders.
That's true.
So I would recommend just selling them that way.
Word to the wise, whether you sell them or buy them as lesser, when you're holding them, hold them as greater, because you can stack them 3-to-1.
True.
Yeah, and that advice goes for buying. They're cheaper as graders and then they are as lessers. I mean, three lessers are generally more expensive than one greater. Are you going to say no, Euripides?
I was actually going to make a point that they're cheaper as cobalt, and they're the cheapest as Abyss crystals.
That's true. So there you go. There's the blacksmithing disenchanting way of creating your own enchanting mats.
Which specifically, weapons. You can make a cobalt war axe, I think it is.
As a blacksmith.
Yeah, exactly, and that gives you 75% yield on the cosmics.
Yeah, you'll get 1.5 greater per notch.
Yep.
So that's good advice. Next is me. Item number 4 is infinite dust. I think this is a gimme. It's going to be needed for creating frostweave bags. It's necessary for leveling enchanting. Stacking infinite dust, especially since the relative collapse or lessening gap of income for the Serenite Shuffle. Infinite Dust is gravy. Dust generally is gravy. We don't really even need to talk about it.
Mike, you got another
cough, Mike. All right.
Number three is Netherweave Bags. Probably not as awesome as Netherweave Bandages were for me. Marco, I remember you were very angry at my...
Mike, I would just like to say that
I had going. Go ahead.
I was also listening to the podcast yelling at you about the Netherweave Bandages.
Oh, it was so much fun, though. I was like, oh, I know that this is going to make me so much money. Wow. It was fun to just buy it off of the... Right off the edge. Anyway, Netherweave Bags, because new characters. New characters need bags, right?
Yep.
That's it. That's the whole deal.
And why not? I guess this is just because of the stockpile, but certainly there'll be new bags, right?
Yeah, but they're going to be expensive. They're going to take a lot. Unless they completely break with tradition, all the bags coming out are going to be great in terms of size, but they're also going to have a fairly steep cost in terms of the amount of work you need to put in to get them. So Netherweave has been in the standby for a while. I don't know whether that's just because it's sort of, you know, the last expansion small bag. Maybe the new last expansion small bag will be the new Netherweave. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But right now it's Netherweave Bags, and I suspect that it'll stay that way for a while.
Yeah, there you go. So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you may have noticed we're not done the list yet, but I did not put Frostweave Cloth on this list. And the reason I did it is I'm looking at Netherweave Cloth right now. And it is so damn cheap, on at least on my server anyway, and people who make the bags. The cloth is so cheap, I don't see Frostweave Cloth being very expensive at all.
So you think the difference is more of the thing? Like Netherweave will go from being super cheap right now to suddenly being so necessary that it'll jump up in price.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier to level through Burning Crusade content because I think they're going to increase the speed even more. Mm-hmm. That you get while leveling. And there's already people are getting so many ways to like 30% faster, 35% faster. You know, you get that pirate ring, it's like 40% faster. I think people will not be collecting as much Netherweave.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, here's a question for all of this stuff. This is kind of an overall question on the list. Do you think that people should try to AH this stuff now? Or like Netherweave, you can just go collect it?
Well, I think you should AH it. I wouldn't go farming this. You should keep in your
that's
mind.
That's not what he's asking. He's asking if he should sell now or hold and sell later.
No. You're talking about after Cataclysm comes out for all this stuff, right? You're stockpiling until Cataclysm.
Yes, I'm stockpiling until Cataclysm, and then because most people are going to dump
about,
this.
Yeah. So, but you said, and that's what I was asking about is farming, and you said no, don't bother farming it.
No, don't bother farming it.
Okay, really, well, hold on a second. Somebody has to farm it, but to clarify, 90% of the farmers out there are, I don't know, they just farm way more than your average player has any time to do. Or I should say 90% of the goods coming into the market are being farmed by people who are farming more than is healthy.
So all this stuff you're talking about is just go buy it off the AH when it gets cheap.
Yeah,
it's specifically. Right. I mean, if you're saying I have 2 hours and I want to try put some of this plan into action, you'd be better off doing 2 hours worth of questing or 2 hours worth of PvP and then selling your honor for gems than you would farming for Netherweave, because you could use the money to go and buy Netherweave and you'll have more at the end of the 2 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of those simple, you know, auctioneer things, Mike. That's like one of the first steps.
I know. You guys
all
know.
I'm not trying to be condescending at all.
You're all so smart. I just wonder. I wonder. So
no, it's good. I misunderstood it as well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pets for item number two. Now, I don't mean all pets in the game. There are definitely going to be achievement players who want to get their worgen to get various pet achievements or goblin to get pet achievements, you know, all those achievements that we've gotten on all our characters right now, when we have so much time, we're going to want to rush and get right away on our alts. But that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about here are things that are going away, and it's not just pets. You know, there's talk that the black tabby might disappear. There's talk that the instance ZG, when it goes away, the polymorph turtle thing might go away. And not that you'll lose the ability to cast it, but that you'll lose the ability to get new ones. So suddenly, something like the Black Tabby, maybe even some of the Dragon Whelplings might go away. No one really knows for sure. It's all speculation. But if you get your hands on one of these and they become priceless, just think about how much gold you're going to make. They just become more valuable the longer the expansion goes, especially the polymorph turtle.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised how much money. That is pure speculation.
You'd be surprised how much money people are willing to, in my opinion, waste on things that really don't have any effect on the game. Like polymorph turtle, I mean, okay, it's a turtle, it's pretty cool, but is it really worth, you know, who knows how much money people will be charging for it once it's out of the game?
Look, you know, Euripides, in terms of polymorph turtle, I agree with you, it's silly. But in terms of pets, I disagree. I have shot the wad on pets in the past. It's part of the things that I like about the game. I know, I'm that guy. And I think that the important thing about looking at pets as an investment is that they're almost guaranteed to maintain the value at which you buy them. I cannot see a scenario in which a 500 gold pet today is going to be worth less than about 500 to 600 gold in Cataclysm.
Well, what if they put them on a vendor?
I was about to say, that's easy.
It's. I mean, with Azul Garub, yeah, maybe. But in terms of pets, okay. So Marco's preface is that the items are going away, which we can't guarantee. You know, so we don't know what items are going away or not. So at this point, we're in speculation. We're in the territory of speculation, no matter what. So, but with that said, I mean, it would take Blizzard really doing something like turning pets into vendor-bound pets to ruin the value that you have in any pet you buy today.
That's true. And that's goes back to what I said before.
That's thin. I mean, in terms of speculation, especially in terms of risk versus reward, like a pet that might be gone forever, that's worth 10,000 gold that you buy for 500 today versus 500 gold today and 25 gold because they made it vendored. I mean, you know, those are the risks you take with pets. That's the pet market.
All right, we have one last item, and then I think we only have time for one email before we have to cut the show down because we're close to our hour.
Boo.
Our last item, and I love this because I've been running into this wall so hard, Serenite Ore. Marco, I hate you. I really do. Nothing personal. Yeah. But after you posted this, it became impossible to buy Serenite Ore on Drendon.
Yeah.
I hate you so much.
Well, it wasn't me. It wasn't me that posted it. I blame Paladin Schmalden, because he accepted my guest post. It's all his fault.
Well, in any case, this Serenite Ore thing is absolutely true. Serenite Ore, maybe Serenite Ore is going to be closer to the new Adamantium or Adamantite Ore, but whatever. It's going to be one of those things that a lot of different professions need in order to level. So when you're a jewel crafter, you're trying to make it into the realm of, okay, I can go and start getting the low-level Cataclysm jewel crafting recipes for my next skill up. Before you do that, you're going to have to prospect a lot of Serenite. So I suspect that that's going to be the item to stockpile. Unfortunately, everybody's doing it. If everybody stockpiles something, the supply just gets so high at the beginning of the expansion, nobody sees the profits that they expected. Everybody's going to be dumping their profits, you know, within the first couple of weeks, and they'll be like, oh, you know, I've been holding on to this for too long. What if I was wrong? Sell, 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 sell. It'll go back down to 13 gold a sack, at which point you can just smelter and vendor it for almost what you paid for it.
I have a question. I think this is really relevant to what we're talking about. Do we think that there's been a recent increase in price of Serenite Ore, I think across all servers. Do we attribute that to people stocking up, or do we attribute it to Warden catching all the bots? Because I think cause and effect matter.
A bit of both.
It happens on a weekly basis, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, Serenite Ore was available on even on Earthen Ring for 13 gold a stack until they introduced Warden 2, and now it's freaking 18.
Yeah, so, but then it went back down to 13 for a while, and now it's back up to 18. So
not on Earthen Ring.
Oh, mine it did. And it's actually not even on the Horde side. It's still 13 gold a stack. Yeah, I guess a big portion of that is the lack of botters. That's what I think we all agree that that's what caused the initial crash in supplies. But that was sort of unsustainable anyways, really.
True. Mike, anything? Nothing?
It sounds all very complicated. And I agree. Serenite Ore is not worth buying a lot of lately.
Well, that's true.
Right?
You have some
direct experience. Yeah, that's true.
I do have some direct experience.
It's worth it if you can get the ore at 13 gold a stack or close to it. Because anything close-ish to 1250 a stack, and then you can just smelt it and vendor it. That's the bottom line for price. If it's ever below that, you buy like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
but right. It's.
I will say to folks that I, you know, who play on the Horde side of Earthen Ring, buy it, have not yet been lucky enough to buy it 13 gold a stack and have to buy it much higher a price than that. So there's a lot of fluctuation server to server.
Yep, that's absolutely true. All right, we have time for one email, I think.
I have a question actually before we jump into email. Yeah. Siska. I tweeted that I was going to be on the podcast, and Cisco wants to know if you guys would switch servers if the AH is crap on the one you're on. So I guess if it's, I don't know what the AH is crap means, but if you don't like the AH, have you switched servers just to get into a different auction house?
Nope.
No.
The auction house, I don't think any auction house could be crap. I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I think, okay, I know why he's saying this. Some people are in situations where they really, you know, if you're going up against a botter in the auction house, it's almost impossible to win. You know, if the person is, you know, just has more time than you and they constantly undercut, there's not much you can do to win. In situations like that, basically the only thing you can do is, you know, try and adjust. I suppose after a certain point, if they can make you spend $15 of real money to move away, then that's just that. You know? But it's unusual that you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to change servers just to get away from that. And other than that, the only other variable is population.
There you go.
All right, before we do that, you know,
I recently. I wanted to answer Mike's question too. I recently did change servers. And it didn't have anything to do. My primary reason was not the auction house, but part of the reason that I chose the server I did, the auction house was a nice bonus. It was gravy. It was good. That it was a nice thing.
Sorry, guys, I got knocked off of our connection.
Oh, that's fine. We were just.
I was trying to explain Serenite Ore, and I started to ramble because I couldn't hear anyone saying anything back. I just talked about Serenite Ore for 5 minutes.
Wow, lost, the wisdom just spilled out into the world.
Internet. I know, gone in antiquity.
Kind of I hope it didn't sound like an idiot. I hope it didn't get halfway.
No one heard it, so you're good.
Actually, you didn't get knocked off. I think Euripides kicked you. He was like, "Who is this guy? Get rid of him."
It's not even on the computer that can kick anyone.
All right. So email? Is this it?
Email. Hey, I got, before we do that email, if a Marco gives advice to an empty microphone and there's nobody there to hear it, is the advice still given? Zen? No?
All right. Oh, my head hurts.
I gotta stop now.
I thought silence was the answer.
I was trying to turn that into some sort of tree falling in the woods thing. Pardon me.
It's funner because he's not here again.
He dropped off again. He's probably talking again. Right now. Yeah. He's probably right there.
He put a message. No, he's not talking. He's saying 12 gold a stack, Serenite.
I'm being funny.
Oh, there he is.
I could be gone at any moment. You know, just keep going, guys. I'm getting like this really shot. Right.
Let's do this email. I got dinner to
Mike,
have here.
Read Trevor. It's all you.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Okay, I'll read the email now. I just was saying that. Hey, guys, I love the show. Just have a quick question. I try to use the advice you give about buying low and selling reasonably, not high, but it seems like it's just undercut after undercut after undercut whenever I post my auctions. Do you have any suggestions on how to overcome this? You guys like my acting? I live in LA now, and I've been working on my acting skills lately.
In character, very nice
vocalization. I like the tonality. It's very excellent.
Thanks.
It's Are you doing the upside down smile right now?
Yes. I don't know what that is, but yes.
The De Niro, you know, the De Niro upside down smile.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Trevor, if you listen to Tipua, what you're talking about buying low and selling normal is what I call it. You used to call it reasonable. What I said on Tipua was that really is good for mid-level profession items. You know, things like, I don't know, sungrass or fade leaf or. Mithril ore, you buy that stuff with bids because not a lot of people are buying it at any one time. So usually you can actually win bids with it. But then when someone goes to buy it, they spend ridiculous amounts of money buying the items. You know, you sell mithril ore for 60 gold a stack, you pick it up with a bid for 10. You know, that's the idea behind buying low and selling reasonable. It works for some other markets, but you don't make as much money. You know, if you do more common markets like Infinite Dust, you're not going to pick up a lot of gold doing it. Over time, maybe, but not in quick bursts. So try adjusting what items you buy. Try picking items that are in the mid-leveling range.
And in that vein, what I would like to dovetail and say, pick one market. Pick the profession that you know, ideally a crafting profession, and just, you know, make that your focal point, whether or not you make it your Waterloo. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a jewel crafter, know the jewel crafting market, you will make more money. If you have a leather worker, you know, get to know leather working. That's the kind of thing where you'll get the most benefit. Don't try and spread yourself too thin.
And the last piece of advice that I have is, if you're being undercut a lot, that's just an increase in supply. Eventually, the demand will catch up. And unless it's an unhealthy market that the prices are just being driven down because there's too much supply, eventually, even if you're not the lowest, you will sell your stock.
Mike, anything?
Mike?
Nothing?
I would just say, if you get undercut after undercut after undercut, maybe look at your armor, you know, watch out. Maybe get a little more protection. I'm just saying, check your other stats, because you got to make sure, you know, get some enchants on there and be a little careful.
Put some dodge gems. Dodge gems are always good.
Yeah. Go for dodge. You gotta dodge those cuts. So.
And if the other guy's expertise capped, you know, you just got to find another way to take care of it.
Put your shield on your back, run away. It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be my suggestion.
It's awesome.
All right, folks.
You guys.
I think that about wraps us up. But you have been listening to episode 15 of the Call to Auction podcast.
I have to say, you guys are so good at this. You're so smart about all three of you are so smart about all the different items and all the relationships and breaking in the gold. I'm very impressed with all the stuff that you're doing. And I think your listeners probably already know this, but it's very awesome that you are just divining out this advice on these podcasts. So nice job.
We don't have any more sort of knowledge or sort of, you know.
You have experience. You have a lot of experience, though. You can hear it in your voices.
If you compare it. If you want to have a real trip, compare it to some of the guys on Arena Junkies. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to talk to any of them, but they have the most weird arcane knowledge that I can't even begin to comprehend. I'm trying. I'm very, very bad at it. But, you know, it's just another. It's just
well, the difference there. It's yeah, the difference game. There, and we can't go too long here because I have to go check the price of Abyss Crystals. But the you know, the guys on Arena Junkies, they're the guys on Arena Junkies, and that is a community that's very, very insular and very, very hard to get into. And you guys are doing a free podcast here that anyone can download and tune in. And
it's the incredible podcast of amazing Auction House,
yeah.
I don't know. I am not. He said he just told us he lives in LA. I do not want to go call that from his lawyer.
Yeah, that's my lawyer. He's already.
No, we're not Tippa. We're Tippa. Ah.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. He's already going after the other podcast that's reading names off of the chat channel. That's a no go. That is a SRAM original. You got to watch out for that. But thank you very much for having me on, you guys. And
thank you very much for joining us, Mike.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. You've been an excellent guest. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Marco. I will do this. Abyss Crystals every day, twice a day, and scanning Ox House every day, twice a day, and then we'll see where I'm at. Maybe I'll actually make.
I don't even care if you scan. Just write the price down on a spreadsheet.
I just love that you're so. I will admit that I'm not going to make a spreadsheet, but I'll write it down on a note. I have a notebook with
Mike. Step one is go back and listen to Call to Auction.
I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to go on your server and look it up.
Yeah, right. He's going to go look at scenarios. He's going to be like, Mike, your data is not correct.
don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It's for fun. It's a good time just for fun. So don't worry about it. But thank you very much, and keep up the great work on the podcast here.
Yeah, awesome. Tippawa, by the way. Look it up.
And go check out Tippawa. If you're bored, if you want something to do and you want to listen to a podcast that doesn't prepare nearly as much as this one, go check out Tippawa. It's a lot of fun.
No, and if you're confused as to which podcast it is, it's the one that looks like a pair of men's underwear. That's the underwear.
Right. The underwear one. The shield with the underwear at the bottom of it.
Yeah, you and Terpster are wearing similar men's briefs. This is wonderful.
That's what they do the show in.
Yeah, that's what the – well, I do. Terpster doesn't even bother.
Homoeroticism for the win.
Yeah. Anyway, whoa. What was that about the explicit tag?
I was going to say, we're earning that more and more every week.
Bring the ship in before it crashes into the dock.
Yes, yes. If this is Euripides from WoW.com and OutDPS.com cutting Jim off.
And this is Marco also cutting Jim off, making your lives less boring all around old and new Azeroth.
Big
Be sure to check out Just My Two Copper. And I'm cutting off Jim again.
That's not in the notes. You go ahead.
You dirty rat. It's your turn, Jim.
Yes, you're lying.
Oh, great. This is Big Jim from P3.
Hey, guys, I just had one more thing, actually. I just wanted to...
This is getting bleeped.
I don't want to be
that
left.
That was Stefan dropped on the air. Mike, go ahead. Finish. No, please.
No, I just wanted to cut you off. I had nothing to say. Go ahead.
We're good. We're good.
Great. Calltoauction@gmail.com. Calltoauction.blogspot.com. You can find us at iTunes by searching for Call to Auction. Till next time, I may or may not be Euripides. Good night, kids.